So today, our Wednesday Bible study, which is the 22nd of February 2023, we are looking at Psalm 150, just a short psalm, a psalm of praise and exaltation. I suppose coming after last Sunday's service, a good psalm of praise and worship, seeking to sort of draw into the presence of God and to draw closer to Him. It's probably an appropriate psalm for us to spend time just to look at and to just share some thoughts as individuals on this psalm. So I'm just going to open the microphone for anyone who would like to commence, and we will together encourage one another in thoughts that the Lord has maybe given and shared with each and every one of us in a different way, and together we will build something of the Word of God in our lives. Amen.
Amen. Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with the psaltery and harp, praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instrument and organs. Praise Him on the loud cymbals. Praise Him on the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I think the thing that sort of stood out for me is how much we need to praise God in song and in instrument, which I never even thought of before, because I'm probably looking at our hands everywhere, but when I don't believe we should have small machines and all this singing, and you know, there's a lot of this where they're bringing the world into the church. But where it says here, I think that it's a different thing. We have to praise God and let ourselves grow. That's the thing that this has stuck out to me, that we have to let ourselves grow within. How can I put it? I'm very reserved as a person when it comes to showing hands in air, dancing about. I can't do it. I find it very hard. And I think, for me, I've got to say to God, oh Lord, you just release me. And let me do what you've given me the ability to do, I suppose, is the word. And for me, I just love to be able, I mean, Sunday was just incredible for me. It's been a long time since I felt that power in any meeting. And I'm a bit like David, I think we should be carried on. But hindsight's a wonderful thing. But I think in future, when it comes to our prayers, that we should just keep going. If God's there, which most of He is, when you put the Holy Spirit alive in on Sunday, who are we to stop it? You know, we should carry on praising God. That's what I got from this. Because He keeps saying, let everything that's at breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. That's my thought.
I've noticed with this time it's mentioned all these instruments, and I've just come to me that God gives us the ability to play instruments, so maybe that's why we've got to praise Him, because we can play them, and we do play them as praise Him. But I've been having more of an attitude of gratitude lately, because I know it sounds silly, people, but I do these jigsaws, and sometimes I look through the boxes and I think this piece is really small. And yet all of a sudden, it suddenly appears. I thought, where was that? I've looked through it. And I thank the Lord for it, because it's just a simple thing. But He helps, it says He's out of sin in everything. Yes. So I give Him thanks for lots of things, just simple and silly things, but means something to me.
Absolutely.
So that's still how you find Him thanks for everything. I think this is a wonderful way of praising Him in everything. It really says it ruins everything, doesn't it, really?
Mm.
Just praise Him in everything, but what they do and what they don't. It's just thanking Him, because He's so wonderful.
Amen.
To me, I think that our faith is God, and everything that breathes, we should sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord, and hoping our God works in order to bring comfort at our times and sufferings in the world when He gives us life.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Praise God.
Take a look at the last five Psalms. They all start with praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. They all end with praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So I think the message is pretty clear.
Yeah.
Well emphasized.
Certainly.
And you know, you can read this psalm in two ways. You can read it as though this is what the psalmist is doing, or you can read it in terms of what the scripture is telling us to do. I think we've got the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The person, whoever the person was that wrote this, is saying that that person praises the Lord and worships the Lord, and then he's also telling us that we should praise and worship the Lord. And then the thing that I like about this is it's the nearest thing I've read in the Bible to play the drums. Nowhere in the Bible does it mention a drum, but here it mentions cymbals and loud cymbals, and that's the nearest we get. And of course, the tambourines, which you can get a beat from the tambourine. So it's just encouraging that although it never mentions drums, doesn't mention drums in the Bible, it does mention cymbals. So on Sunday, you can expect me to be bashing them cymbals.
Oh,
Mick, that's a good comment as regards. I know he said it joking. I know he said it joking, Mick, they're not from the devil. But historically, in countries that use drums, drums were used actually, and we know why that phrase came. They used to use drums to bring up demonic spirits.
Mm.
But I believe that if you get an anointed drummer, then it's a different thing altogether. And the other thing is that the drummer is not drumming for him or herself, but they're doing it as unto the Lord. And I've got to say this, as even with keyboard and guitar players, it has to be that the instruments are there to assist worship, not to actually necessarily do worship in one sense, okay? They are there as an assistance to worshiping God, not as a thing that we have to have them, but it just helps us, it gives us that lead in. I mean, like during the service, I think on Sunday, I think at one stage, we didn't have any instruments, but we worshipped the Lord. Because our voices actually are instruments themselves, and our voices have a bigger range than our instruments, believe it or not. An electric keyboard, I think, has something like 265 sort of tones in them. Our voices have a bigger range than that, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear people who will sing in harmony together, it is without even music. I mean, consider for instance like the barbershop quintets that they used to be, and you get these four guys together singing, and it's without an instrument, and it's, you know, their voices are their instruments. And so the thing that you know, in this psalm where he talks about all these instruments and that, he finishes off in verse 6, but let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And so we ourselves are instruments to praise God. So yeah, but I thank God that we have a godly drummer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That is important, and you know, and our musicians, I believe, are godly people.
Amen.
And we want to play to bring glory and praise to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Many of the verses you just quoted, that everything that has breath, praise and all. We haven't got breath in our life.
True.
We live because we breathe.
Yes.
When I read this psalm this week, what I was taken to what's happened in Turkey, and just this latest earthquake. The power of God has been demonstrated. Imagine what's happened. And all is moving. The earth has moved, a couple of plates have moved, that's all. And that's the kind of God that we serve. One day to meet her every evening, and we said, come up. But the only instrument I can play, except for my voice, is this instrument. The 10-string instrument that God gave us. And quite frankly, it's blending those instruments together.
Mm.
It's having a blend where we're all working for one end and one aim, and that is to uplift the Lord. There is a scripture which says, the Lord inhabits the pride of his people. And I believe on Sunday, that was what was happening. The Lord was inhabiting our praise. We went along for a while, but suddenly we moved into a realm that I'm still there. I went away in the top of the last three days or so. Not very well physically, but that's not a little bit. Spiritually, the Lord showing me one or two things that quite frankly I've never seen before. I'm looking at writings and I'm thinking, wow, I've not seen that before. And we've got a God of variety, but in his variety and his harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And as we praise together and we move into the realm of praising together and honoring the Lord, not lifting it with our praise, everything in our breath, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Then use what you have to be able to bring praise and honor to him. And when he does that, he comes and he inhabits to praise his people. It reminded me of Mary and Martha. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. She took the better part, Jesus said. No, Martha was very busy. Sometimes we can be too busy to do what we've got to do. We've got to remember that when we come to worship, it's a time we're giving to the Lord.
Mm.
So we've got to. Someone said recently, don't only just try and praise the Lord, but give him chance to speak back to us as we praise him, speak into our lives. And out of that comes a greater praise in it, even what we've seen so far. But it occurred to me that sometimes we don't grasp how great our God is.
Mm.
And just in the nature that he said, let there be, in the beginning, God. And he said, let there be, and it was. And some of the things that we see him working, and we see from our Bible, we see some of the times he stepped in for the children of Israel and used the elements that he actually created to bring about victory. And I believe that he can do the same for us. He can use all things to turn around and produce in us the good. They might not be very good at the time, but we go back to Romans again, and all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called to his purpose. Someone said something about Wesley was talking to somebody, and he said, why is the cat looking over the fence? But he can't look, if he looks, don't look over the fence, he can't see the next field. If we look at our difficulties, we can't see what God's got for us in the future. Over the last few days, just thinking about what God has done. The fact that it's 77, I had a double portion, double perfect. 7-7, and I just feel this, something's just lifted off me over the last few days, and the people that know physical things, they've all got their opinion, but I'm so glad that we're in our lives, really, saying that we've got threat. Let's make sure we praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And as we praise him, praise brings the victory.
Amen. Amen.
When I read this psalm, kept thinking, I need help, I've got to think. But I got this from each verse. The Holy Sanctuary is praying for his holy temple and worship, asking him for forgiveness and honesty, walking faith in God's excellent greatness to authorize worship, sing loud with praise, to worship and sing and dance. A great day. God has given us a great day. First of all, love and forgiveness and response to praise and wonderful work.
Amen. Praise God. I've heard stories of people being healed during praise and worship, and I remember how there was a story of a man, and he was diagnosed. Now, a story so long ago now, the story was either he had a heart issue or it was cancer, and he began to praise the Lord. He made a decision that even in his sickness, he was going to praise God. Nothing was going to stop him. And he was in a meeting one day, and the meeting was really going, and he began to dance and praise the Lord. And the next time he went to the doctors, they checked him, and he was totally healed. So we don't know what God can do in one sense. We know he can do all things, and that's an easy statement to say, isn't it? God can do all things. But the big question is, what is all things? How he does it. We can't just put God in a box and say, God, you've got to do it this way.
Yeah.
God does it his way.
Yeah.
And the amount of different ways that God can do something, well, we probably can't even calculate the way that God can do things. So we have to stay focused on the fact that as we praise God, we're not praising him to get. We're praising him because he's already given to us. And we're praising him for what he's given. And we're just giving thanks for the graciousness of God. And for all of creation around us. And for our friends, our family, our loved ones that we have around us. And even those that we will meet in the future, that we will touch their lives through the power of God that flows through us, through the praise. That flows through us, because in our praise, I believe praise also brings peace.
Mm.
You know, because you take your focus off the circumstances and the situations, and you just focus on him. And as we focus on him, all our cares, all our worries become smaller. They become less than the molehill.
Mm.
And we trample them underfoot. In that sort of sense, as we praise God, we'll maybe even dance them underfoot, basically, and see them disappear, because our focus is not on the circumstances, but our focus is on our Heavenly Father in heaven. And he has called us into that place, to come into that place to praise and to worship him and to bless him. And as we do that, heaven rejoices back. What we give to heaven, God, you know, returns back to us, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And so I just encourage you to keep praising God. Be, you know, David, for instance. David was one who praised the Lord quite dramatically, wasn't he? In fact, his wife got rather upset. You know, she was upset that you have embarrassed me and our family. That's what it was. That's what she was saying. You know, you've embarrassed us. You know, you're the king. You should actually be demure and whatever, you know, and look like a king, but you just look like one of the locals, and as if you were drunk or something. That was the sort of attitude that she's putting. But, you know, David was drunk. He was intoxicated with the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so happy and glad for what God had done. As they brought back the Ark of the Covenant, because it was God's promise. And he was rejoicing that it had returned to Israel in his time. God had kept his promise. And you and I, you know, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. And when you've done everything possible, give thanks to the Lord. because it's good. Amen?
Mm. Yes, so the psalm tells us to praise the Lord. Well, how do you praise the Lord? It begs the question, well, how do you praise the Lord? And it talks about singing and playing instruments, but you know, our whole lives should be about praising Him in all your ways of knowledge. So instead of the word acknowledge, in all your ways, praise Him, everything that you do, your whole life should be about living for and praising God for all the things He has done for you and all the things that He wants you to do for Him. So we don't need to really ask the question as to how we praise God. Our lives should be, in total, our actual existence should be a praise to God. Yes, we can sing, yes, we can pray, yes, we can hold our hands high and praise the Lord and praise instruments. Praise with instruments, but our whole life should be praise to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Just going into the Psalm 150, that's for the verse that the writer is praising the right expands. And as soon as I read that, it triggered the memory that he says about the stars singing.
Mm-hmm.
If you look in Job chapter 20, verse 7, now this is God talking to Job, really reminds Job who God is. In verse 7, it says, when the morning stars sang together. When God starts talking to Joel, he's asking the question, where are you when I made the foundation of the earth? Tell me, I don't understand you. Who set its measurements? Things you know. Or who stretched the boundaries? Or what weighs the basis of some? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars stand together, then all the souls of God shouted for joy. It's such a parallel with that Psalm 150. It's actually telling creation all the creator is. It's beyond our understanding, you know, like the scientists try to tell us the way we're doing it all through. Well, change or whatever. It has to be an author.
Mm-hmm.
The author can never put us in the same. I will read that in some kind of way because it's so familiar. You can look at the grass twice. Even trees on the wings, the fish is right to the leaves. That one tree is still in fall. The boy said that it's all right now is the glory.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the corns and red wine, the flowers. And this is who he is. We're reminded who God is. But we just lost it all. And praise in that day comes naturally. Because we're so out of our depth. We need to understand it. You see, science tries to put an answer on things it can't understand, and it pushes its straws to do that. If you looked at the four first that we use to arrive at the assumptions that are made in a natural sense, a great sin, the four of them were sin, and also the holds together. What we see. They don't understand the power and the greatness and the awesomeness of God. That it's all that the whole most of it is held together by love, by God's love for creation. We'll go into Psalm 150. Praising. Praising. Beyond our understanding, we're praising and thanking.
coming.
Hmm.
He's still has someone to hold up his ear over his.
Talk about all creation and worship thing. A couple of weeks ago, Andrew found Jenny Wren, and she was born into the pond and trying to get a drink. And she was dead, and he or she was dead. But that little girl,
so tiny.
So tiny. So precious. And yet, when she sings in our garden, she has got the loudest voice.
Unbelievable.
I was looking for a much bigger bird when I heard her. And I was astounded that God put such a punch of praise on the tiniest bird. And that's the other thing about this in our garden. But another thing that occurs to me when Rocky's talking, he said it's difficult. You have ambitions, and it's not easy to abandon yourself to God. But and I hear what Ken's saying, when you see the awesome greatness of God, it's an automatic reaction, and you just let everything go and worship Him. But I always remember when we were at Scandalby Hall, when we took the young people there, they abandoned themselves to God. The Holy Spirit came in, and they were doing things that were totally out of character for them. And I always remember Bishop Elijah preaching on, was it King Ahasuerus? Mine said King Xerxes, Nestor. But it was through feast, and the wine was flowing. And he said, have you ever seen a drunk that's got inhibitions? No. Because when you're drunk, you'll do anything. And when we will abandon ourselves to the Spirit of God in that same way, we are out of control, but we need to be out of control because it's Him that's in control. It's the Spirit of God. And He's not going to do anything to harm us, but He's going to aid us to worship and reach the throne of God. And at the other side, well, when we get into abandonment, just really feel stuff we could not imagine.
Yes, working with the youth that we were, the youth leaders in Bentley, we did have the privilege at times of, particularly at Scandalby Hall, seeing the Spirit of God move in such a way that we had never seen before, and because we'd never seen it before, you don't have any guidance in one sense of how to handle this, and we didn't handle it. In fact, we kept our hands off it, and they were, as Grace said, there were young people doing things and saying things that if you would have asked them to do that, they would have told you in no uncertain terms, that's not happening. And one of them was Helen. And years ago, if you'd have said to Helen, would you pray in the meeting? It's not even on the... I'm going to register. It's not going to happen, full stop. And when the Spirit of God broke in, and I use that term broken because we stopped. We stopped everything. And we waited on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And as He came in, suddenly there was a voice that began to pray. And that voice prayed for 10 minutes. And after 5 minutes, I'm thinking, who is it? And I could not work out who it was. And I was right at the front of this little chapel, And I turned round, and believe it or not, this was the sight. Helen was on her feet, both hands in the air, praising and worshipping God. And I'm like, that can only be God moving in her, because there's no way would she have done it. You could not have paid her the money to do that in those days. And I thought, wow, tonight we're onto something. And the power of God went through. I mean, there was another young man in the church, I'll not mention his name, and he would sit in the youth group or in church itself, and when we were singing worship songs, he would sit with his arms folded like this, and his mouth was just about not moving. And he, you know, didn't really, at times he wasn't an happy soul really. And I was at the back of the meeting room at that time, and he's on his feet, and all of a sudden, and they've got those wooden chairs like we had here previously, those chapel chairs, and he fell face forward through these chairs, and he hit the floor, and as he hit the floor, his legs came up and his feet began to flap together. He wouldn't clap, and he's got both his fists clenched and his face down on the floor, and he's banging on the floor saying, "No, no, no," and his feet came up and they were clapping. And I just sat there watching, and I thought, this is amazing what God is doing. And you might say, well, why was it so amazing? As I said, this guy was unmoved by anything. And I remember that the next day he came to me and he said to this, him and his girlfriend came to me and said, "Whatever you need us to do, whatever you ask us to do, we will do it." Now that was a total change of the dynamics at that time. And I'm like, yeah, that is when God moves.
Mm.
And people are broken open. Mm. And they're hungry for more of God.
Mm.
And that, you know, those things amazed me. And those were just a couple. I mean, there were some things that went on that night, and I could keep here. That meeting went on for 7 hours.
Mm.
So don't look at your watches when you go here, because I want a 7 hour meeting.
Mm.
I want, and that meeting, I mean, we started at 7:30, we finished worship at 8 o'clock, and from 8 o'clock onwards, the Spirit of God moved, and it was 2:30 in the morning before he let us go to bed. And I'll tell you this, there was one young man who had been playing about with a Ouija board and messing about with occult things, and he went running and screaming out of that room. And we didn't see him till the next day. We had no idea where he went. But I'll tell you what, I said, "I'm not fine, I'm looking for him. I said, I need to be in this room. I need to be where God is. God will sort him out." And that was what was happening. The presence and the power of God that visited us was awesome. And I'll tell you, the next morning I had a prayer meeting in that room at 6, and I opened the door, and as I opened the door, there was this tangible presence in the room, and the only thing I can describe it as was like we'd been in the Dead Sea, and it was like there was a substance there, but I couldn't see it. But I could feel it. The only way I can sort of describe it was a little bit like washing up liquid through your fingers, you know. And it reminded me of when Solomon dedicated the temple, and it said, "And the train of the Lord filled the temple." And I thought, wow, you know, we were in this presence of God. And it was awesome and powerful. And I'll tell you this, the 2 or 3 days, because this was a 5-day session we had, the two or three days beforehand, it was tough going. It was tough going. And then suddenly we got this breakthrough. And it was through no anything we did, but just seeking God. And the funny thing about it, back to drums actually, was Yeah. I said to the musicians, right, I just sensed this presence of the Lord coming. I said to the musicians, stop playing, go sit down. And whilst I said, we'll just wait on the Lord. As we were waiting on the Lord, I saw the drums went like this. And there was a drum roll. And I got my eyes shut. I thought everyone had to sit down. So I looked up, and I was really annoyed. And I looked up. There's nobody on the drums. And the drummer was sat at the back of the room. There was no way he could make it from there to there by the time I'd opened my eyes. So sometimes God uses drums. Hallelujah, praise God. And he announced his presence. And when I saw that happen, and I'm not the only person that heard it, because about 3 years ago, we visited with somebody who was actually in that meeting. And the first thing he said to me, he says, do you remember that drum roll? I said, I'll never forget it. And when that happened, I thought, right, that's it. I'm leaving this. Whatever, and I said, we're just going to wait on God. And we just stood in absolute silence. And the presence of the Lord just moved in. And then, as I say, Helen began to pray, and then others, and the power of God's coming. People were just falling under the Spirit. And the preacher, God had knocked him out during that period, just before that period of time. They laid him in the aisle, knocked him flat on the floor.
Yeah.
He dropped between a gap. I don't know how he missed it in his head. And it was a wooden floor, and he dropped like an elephant. Made me jump. I thought, what on earth is that? And he's laid out like in a coffin, and he's chuckling away. And he says, I'll preach. Well, for 5 minutes, he staggered at the front like a drunk, and he said, I need to sit down. And he just sat down. And that's when I said, we're just going to wait on the Spirit. And then, as I say, then suddenly we had that drum roll, and then it just kicked off. Mm-hmm. And the presence of God moved in. And Grace and I have seen that. We've experienced that. It leaves me hungry.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I hear people talk about the presence of God, and, oh, you know, did you feel the presence? And I think, you haven't got a clue. You haven't got a clue yet. You've not even touched the hem of his garment yet. And that's where I'm, you know, you've not touched the hem of his garment. And we need to come to that place where we are touching the hem of his garments, where we are drawing the power from our Lord and Saviour. That's where the church needs to be. When we come together in particular, you know, there's suddenly there is that presence, that power, that corporate anointing. Each and every one of us brings the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
And we come together empowered, and the Spirit of God flows through us to bring glory to him. And I tell you these things for only one thing, to bring glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we did was organize a week, took the young people away and said, Lord, you do the rest. Because we couldn't do the spiritual side, only God can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But we said, here we are, Lord, wholly available. As for me, we will serve the Lord. You know, we're available. Make ourselves available. Surrender your inhibitions. Get rid of them.
Jump in.
And dive in there and let God do that work in your life. And have that experience. It's something that never ever leaves you, and it leaves you hungry and thirsting for more. And I know Mick said to me the other day, have your mice is sticky this long? And he meant it in a right, didn't you, Mick?
I think so.
And that's some of the reasons.
Mm-hmm. Because you taste.
Yeah. And after, you know, there's that scripture, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I'll tell you what, it's understated. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is very good. Very good. And you know, it brings, when I talk about these things, it brings tears to my eyes. It makes me emotional because, Lord, I'm hungry and I'm thirsting and I want more of you. And I see, I mean, we went to the Brownsville experience what was happening there was happening in our youth meetings 30 years before. We'd seen it all, and we'd seen greater than what we saw in their meetings. And this was with our young people. And God says, if you're open, if you're available, He also is open and available to give to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And that's where our heartbeat is. We've seen it, we've experienced it, and we know that was only the touch of the tip of the iceberg. That was the beginning. And I don't know if I'd gone full time by then, or if I was right. I had, because we got the bus at that time. So, you know, these are the things that we just pressed into, because God wants to do these things. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what He did during that time in the 80s, He can do today and even greater. And the Spirit of God wants to. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, is needed today in our nation more than it's ever been needed before. And the only way it's going to happen is it's going to happen through those that say, I am available. I am available, and Lord, I don't care what you want to do with me, do it. In other words, make yourself a doormat for the Holy Spirit. And some people think, you know, well, I said to God, you know, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And you know, people walk over you, God, you say, God, well, why is that happening? You say, whatever.
Be a doormat.
Be a
doormat. Well, most doormats on them say, look.
Well, absolutely. Amen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, carry on.
One day, when David was calling, I'd been praying all day for David. And Steve and I came into church. I think he was not the church that day, didn't you? He came into church, and we stood there, and we could feel it. The press of God. And it was so...
And that's what we want. And that's what we want. We want people to walk in through that doorway, and suddenly the presence of God hits them. And that started the meeting. But what has happened is the fabric of the building is drenched in His presence. And, you know, it contains His presence, and we walk into it, come into His presence with thanksgiving in our hearts. Yeah, I mean, you know, the disciples prayed on the handkerchiefs and said, look, you know, give that to so-and-so. I know somebody who in my lifetime has done that and sent them to somebody who was seriously beyond the help of the hospitals. And when the handkerchief was laid upon that person, they were healed, delivered, and set free, and they were no longer sick. It works.
Even Peter's shadow.
When his shadow was cast upon him, it was power.
The carrying was anointing, wasn't it?
You know, God has taken earthen vessels, broken ones, and He's made them new. He's put a liner inside us. You know, we had some issues with our drain pipes on the church, and I thought, oh, we're going to have to dig it up and take all the pipes and I'll replace all the pipes. They cleaned them out. They got rid of all the obstruction of the tree roots, and then they put a liner. They didn't remove the outer form. But the inside was prepared so that no longer would the outside affect what's on the inside. And so then we were, and in the same way, the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus has begun that work to deal with us, so that we become containers to hold the presence of God. And pour out that presence that when we touch people, the power of God flows through us. When you're talking, when you're out on the street and you just touch somebody, whoa, what was that? It's Jesus come to touch you. It's Jesus reaching out to you. That's where we're going. That's where we go.
We are going. Sorry for talking again. When I was pulling, when I first knew David, I said to him, "Will you pray over me?" Next now, next morning. Well, all right.
Amen.
Lots of times doing that.
And that's what Jesus does.
Doing that the next.
She sat motionless for I don't know how many hours on that chair. She did not know
that
what had gone.
She was on a chair near the door, and he wanted to get out, and he picked her up on the chair and just moved her like that. She had no recollection of the picture. And afterwards, she said, "She was like a drunk, she was in a
trance."
And she said, "I've been with Jesus." Oh,
we've been laughing.
But,
oh,
she has been with Jesus.
Definitely.
She glowed.
She was
absolutely gone.
Abandonment. Yeah. And we're talking about people who are not biblical scholars, you know, they're just ordinary people. And you know, God just, the Spirit of God just moved in power. And because they were hungry.
Praising.
Yeah.
Yeah, go along with what people have been saying. I think for me though, there's a certain, not reservation, but I was in the meeting on Sunday. I was pleased. I could see people working together. I could see, you know, Steve preached really, really well, and the worship was going well. Because we invited Candy around, we're busy thinking what she's going to be thinking.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about the meeting, and I'm taking it all, and I'm thinking, you know, we're so set by times, aren't we?
Yeah.
And we think things should be done in this order and that order.
Mm-hmm.
It just becomes a part of it because we're living in this world and we've got to have agendas and we've got to have times and we've got to listen to us. And so meetings where it goes on, sometimes you're not fully entering in. You can sometimes see, I have entered in, but you can sometimes see people really entering in.
Yeah.
And then other times you're not, for whatever reason. And it made me think, you know, am I really up for this? I've got to be honest, like, you know, am I really up for this kind of meetings, like? And I've been challenged a couple of times, because when I wait on God, I'm thinking, am I really up for this? Because sometimes he says things and I run away quick, because I don't want to hear anymore. You know? And I think there's a reservation because of weirdness, past things. I didn't particularly like a lot of things that were going on at Brownsville personally, you know, all off the wall. So there's a certain amount of checking and analysing and discerning the spirits and all that going on. And once you start getting into that realm, it's a whole new realm. And sometimes you think, I'll just... So far, but that's enough, because you know that you've got to really, really mean business, and sometimes because of hesitancy, we're not really sure. Like, for instance, there's all that that's going on in Asbury now, isn't there, in the university, where there's line after line of people coming in and repenting. And from what I've seen, it seems genuine. There don't seem to be any hype, there's no smoke machines, there's no flashing lights, and yet people are coming and repenting and seemingly touching worshipping God. Mm-hmm. But then again, there's loads of other people coming because what's going on?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, he's genuine and he's not. But to get back to what I was saying, I'm thinking, well, I do believe it. I thought from Sunday, this is the place it's going to take off. This is going to be another Asbury here if you're not careful. Because you've seen a certain unit, you've seen a certain, the word, you've got your word, you've got a fundamental base of your gospel word that's true. And there's an openness for the Holy Spirit to move. But just how open I am, just as anybody could really check their own hearts and say, well, am I really up for this? Because it does cost.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. It does mean you have to wait on God and carry the one thing. I don't know if I said it then, but God said, "You will carry my anointing."
Yeah.
Right. Well, on a minute. Let's hang on. What does all that mean? I don't think I'm going to wait any longer for finding out. You know what I'm saying? That sounds horrible, doesn't it? Because we're all saying, "I really want God. I really want God. I really want God."
Don't you think that's the fear, mate?
It might be fear. It could be fear. It could be just knowing that you have to count the cost. And I'm still counting cost in many, many ways. Even I've been going on this just in a long, long time. Because I think it will be all or nothing as we move into end times. So I'm kind of just... I'm not quite there yet, aren't we? Because... I think we should be discerning. And I think we should be, but yet open to what anything God wants. And I think it will fill this place, and I think we're going to be a part of it. But, you know, I think it could happen quite pretty fast as well.
But God works through
free will. Yeah, he does,
yeah. And if you're not ready, you're not imposing yourself, and you can observe from the answer. But you're not standing there.
Yeah.
Is it
grinding
and letting go?
Yeah. Yeah, John, I think there is, and that applies to all of them. That restriction, it's picking me up. There's that restriction of being a limit of afraid to let go. There's also the fact that, I remember Brownsville, when we went, it was beginning to wane, to be quite truthful. And you will always get things that swing too far, in one sense. And, you know, we don't want to quench the spirit,
no.
But we need also to watch for the little foxes, let me put it that way, that will try and dive in, and
the flesh
wants to manifest itself, and these are the things that where we need to be a body of believers that are spiritually tuned, and we recognise that flesh. Now, I'll share this, that I remember at certain times during my walk with the Lord, I remember we were in a church, and our pastor's wife was giving a prophetic word, and I was listening to it, got to a point where she'd done maybe 5 minutes of, and then she continued on. But actually, after the fifth minute, that was when God stopped talking. But it wasn't enough as far as her own mind was concerned, so she continued on, and she continued out of the Spirit, because she wanted to make it a finished sentence. Now sometimes, and let's explain it like this, sometimes God will give you the introduction, but he hasn't given you the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't given you the middle bit. But we want to say, oh well, I've only got introduction, but it don't fit properly. So I'll have to add to that. Well, don't do that. If God's given you 5 words, bring the 5 words. Somewhere else, there's another 5 words, right? You know, we don't have it all, but we bring in parts. We understand in parts, Scripture says. And so we bring that God has given to us during the week. God might have given you a few words during the week. Oh, what's next, Lord? And he said, well, I can't just bring that, that'll look stupid. And that's where our pride comes in, if, you know, I will look stupid, won't I? No, you won't. Because suddenly you might be the final part to bring the avalanche of the Spirit of God into the meeting.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm. You might be the last bit of the drill going through the hole.
And get out of the way.
You better stand back because God's coming through, you see. So, you know, just because we don't have a full understanding of it all, we see in part, we understand in part, we know in part, well, do your part. You know, do your part. And I understand what you're saying about cost. And I think we've paid a bit of a price, but I'm still prepared to carry on because I look at it and I say, I haven't come this far, this long, to give up now. Because I want the promise that's at the end of where I'm going. I want to touch that bit. I want to see that released because I need to do my part. You know, and I just think, you know, I'm going to do this.
I am.
I'm going to keep pushing on. I'm going to keep pushing on. And then I'll keep getting a bit older each day. But I'm thinking, I'm going to push through. I have got to see this breakthrough. Mm-hmm. Lord, I need to see you. I need to see your hand changing and moving. And I need to see these people with that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, saying, in total abandonment to you, Lord, I trust you. When Jesus said to Peter, come. That we say, just let me get out of this boat. Let me get out of this restriction that I put on myself.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Because we let history, our history, dictate our future. And that is not what we should be doing. Don't become a pillar of salt.
Sometimes fear of man is very important.
Fear of man. And we need to, you know, God said, I've not put in you a fear of man. You know, you've conquered that. In Christ, we've conquered that. And so God wants you and I to press in because each and every one of you are one of the cogs in the gearbox that moves this thing forward. That's what you are. And let me say this to you, let me just encourage you with this, you know, we can do this while we're here, is that if God gives you something during the meeting and you're not sure about it, bring it to us and say, well, what, you know, and let's confirm it, yay or nay. Ava's done that to us. She's come up and said, I've got this, and I just said, what do you think? Yeah, that rings true. And what that does is that helps build confidence with each other and that, hey, yeah, guess what? You're hearing God. You're bringing something from the throne room of God about the circumstance and situation, because that's what we're doing. Because everything that we got comes by the throne room. You see, God speaks, the Holy Spirit brings it from the throne room. And so the information we get, the words that we get, have come from the throne room of God. Wow. What a direct line you've got. Begin to use it. You know, begin to use it. And as I said, if you don't think you've got to come with the whole picture. You know, a picture starts off with a sketch. An artist sketches something. Puts some rough drawings together. God will bring you together and build that picture. Like the jigsaw. You haven't got to put all the pieces in all at once, have you? Don't work that way, you know, does it? You know, you don't just get a little box and shake it open, lid up, say, look at that, it's complete. I wish, yeah. It don't work like that. But you see, you know, you purposely, you put things in place and you build it, and it's being built up into that full picture. And God, my Spirit, you know, will give you a part. He'll give you the peace. one of the pieces down there. And if you don't pull that down, it doesn't actually leave the opportunity for the next piece to go in place.
Yeah.
So you have a responsibility to bring it and deliver it. Hey, and let me say this. We might make a mistake. But guess what? Heaven's throne is on such a foundation that your mistake will not cause heaven to shake or crumble.
Mm-hmm. No.
Alright? You're not that big.
Mm-hmm.
But you are important.
Amen.
You are part of the kingdom, and God wants to use you in such a way that brings praise and glory, and that you will enjoy the presence of God daily and your daily walk with him, and that God wants to use you. Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. He wanted them to experience what he was experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted them to know the power without him being there. You know, even the demons are subject to his Lord. You know, blind eyes are open, etc. And so it goes on. But they were going back excited. Didn't they? They were absolutely... You know, this is amazing. You know, they just couldn't believe what had happened. Because prior to that, they were fishermen, tax collectors, nobodies, basically. Hardly educated. And yet, the God of eternity, the God of all creation, breathed upon them and flowed through them. That's where we need to be. And... yeah, and we'll just have to make sure that we have men and women on the spiritual ramparts watching for those that would seek to disturb, disrupt and undermine and bring discredit to what is going on. And that's part of our job, part of our function. I know it's part of mine, and people like Andrew will tell you. If I think it's wrong, I'll tell you. Hopefully, I'll endeavour to do it with as much love and grace as I can raise. But let me tell you, don't come across the Holy Spirit, and because I can get really upset. And I remember the time when we were in Bentley. And I was leading a meeting, I don't know a preacher, I can't remember, but there was such a presence of God coming into the meeting, but right at the end. And I said, let's just wait on God. And literally I felt, mentally on the right hand side, that was the entrance, and I sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit just pushing in through the doorway. Now the meeting had gone on a while actually, longer than what they normally anticipate, that wasn't directly my fault. That's the Lord's fault, not mine. And in the back, we had a kitchen area. We had this cutout. And it acted a little bit like a guitar, a speaker. There was two women in the back. Well, I don't know how long we're going to have to stand here like this. You know, we've got all cups of tea ready, and you know, and there he is. And she started. Now, if I'd have been a little bit braver, and I should have done that day, I should have told her, shut up, woman, because if you don't, I'll come and gag you. And when she started, the presence of the Lord left the building.
Wow.
I couldn't, honestly, I'm telling you, because we'd had this experience in the youth work, we'd seen it, I was ready to neck her. Honestly. So, be warned. I will do it. Because I am so hungry and I am so tired of wanting and desiring and waiting for this to happen. Because this type of thing that we are sharing and talking about and believing God for is going to change this area.
And that is the key.
It is the key.
Because God is waiting time. He wants to prepare us to get the body ready, flowing with the Spirit of God. And you don't have to design revival.
Things are going to break, I believe.
What we've got to be careful of is that we don't try to produce it ourselves.
Oh, no.
The kind of meeting we had on Sunday was fantastic. We can't say, oh, it's because we did it this way, we did it that way, we did this or we did that. This is how we've got, that's the pattern. All these places like have been happening in the records. I've lived through quite a few. And the biggest problem with people who have told you that they try and produce it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
right.
You see, it's not a product.
No. And worship is not a product. No. That's worship. At the moment, I'm having my daughter's wanted to join the worship team in Legacy. I don't go to Legacy, but she goes in, and I know why she does go in. And she's a singer, but she's a classical singer. She's a almost operatic, really. It's that kind of a voice. It's a soprano voice. And she's now practicing songs which are what you would call a belty American style twang. It sounds awful because she can't sing. She can't sing
it.
And I said, why are you singing that? Oh, well, that's what they want. That's what they mean. I said, you've got to worship God in spirit and truth, sir. You can't. Your instrument is your voice that you've been given by God. And she's got a beautiful soprano voice. It is actually unique. But when she tries to sing pop and that belty kind of stuff that some of them are gifted in, look at it all, there's one lady there who's really good singing that sound. I said, well, that's not your style, sir. Why are you trying to sing like that? Well, that's what we want. And she's got to go for an audition for worship. And I was saying, it's not about that. You've got to worship God in spirit and truth. It's not an entertainment that you're acting. You're supposed to bring a sense of God's presence through your worshiping and being an instrument in that room.
Yeah.
Even if it's just highlighting a song or just bringing a different tone that blesses people, that helps them talk up to God's spirit and go on. And I'm saying, why are you trying to be like, I'm saying, you've got to use what you've got. It's not just trying to sound like a little bass when you're not.
You've got to be you.
And it's interesting that God uses all these different instruments in the turn to make a whole, which has already been brought up. I realise it's already been brought up as I'm going through and I'm listening to it. That sounds horrible to me. Why are you trying to change who you are? And what? Because she's young in her faith and she wants to be worshipping and she wants to do a bit. But you've got to be really careful not to put somebody down, haven't you? Do it gently. Because I know that deep down she's wanting to worship God, but why is she being forced to worship in Him in a way that's not true? It's got to be spirit and truth, isn't it?
You've got
to let us see it, for example. I said, I've blessed her away because it's causing an argument, and that's the last thing you want, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, at the moment she's meeting young Christians and she's getting involved and she's going to get baptized and stuff like that. So, I have to let her.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to be my faith. It's got to be her own faith. It's got to be her own faith.
You've got to plan the journey for her.
Yeah, it does bring up all these. And that's why I've been thinking about worship and one way. It's not that kind of entertainment. We're not putting on an entertainment. We are actually worshiping, aren't we? Well, it seems to me. I'm not saying they are the legacy. They might well be, these young people might well be worshipping, but I just find it, some of it, a little bit out. And I shouldn't mention, I hope this is not going to be, but they're doing a great job with these.
Yeah.
It's just, I felt scared of it. It's not about singing in a particular style that's not you. It's got to be you. So, I don't know what
we're fixing. We've all got a ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all got a part to play. Well, I can't play the piano, so it would be what you say to me, go on, play the piano. I've got a clue. But in the area where God's given me a certain expertise or a certain ability, that's what he's going to use. It's the same for you. People say, oh, I can't do much. Well, God didn't ask you to do much. He said, be available with what you've got. Then you see me do much.
Mm.
It's not what we do, it's what he does.
Mm.
He broke in on us over something nice. God broke in on us. We didn't break in on him. He broke in on us. And out of that came, well, for me, it's been in 4 days of just being up here almost all the time. Physically, I've been a bit weak and a bit stuttery, but spiritually, my heart just welling up in God, saying, that's what we want to be about. Now, if we come Sunday, don't think we can manufacture what happened then, last Sunday, this Sunday, but God's got a way of taking us through to where we want to, where he wants us to be, so that we actually move in the place where he is glorified. And I'm just thrilled a bit, to be honest, my heart's racing. The legs can't break, but the heart's racing.
Yeah.
I
think Steve's been
happy
getting into that.
You want to say
no? I'm a few weeks ago, I was talking about Thomas and the fact that he's got this name to be the cancer. And he went on to create a thing. And you talked about Caleb, and he had to wait until he was 85 before he arrived in the promised land. The news bit was for Hebron, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But he was 85 before he could get there and take on the gift that God had got for him. And I don't know what I'm going to do for the Lord in 10 years' time, whatever it's going to be. I just know that I want to do it,
yeah,
whatever it happens to be. And it's a journey that we're on,
mm,
and one day we arrive, and one day we will be home.
Mm.
And just recently I read a little bit more about Thomas. Jesus was going to Bethany because he'd heard that his friend was ill and had in fact died. And what Thomas said, let's go with him and die.
Yeah, I
know. And when they got there, what happened? Just the opposite. So that it doesn't give them back.
Right.
You know, completely the opposite. So I don't think it's in our hands or within our level of understanding sometimes. Mm. It's just that we have to go with the flow of what's happening.
Okay.
And the other thing that, as you were speaking, came into my mind was that God will do things instantly and that we are human.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes our human facilities will question what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's the wrong thing to do. I think it's good to question, mm-hmm, so that the Lord can reveal himself to us as we move on that journey.
Mm-hmm.
So, asking those sorts of questions, I think, is the right thing to do,
yeah,
for us, because it's a process of development for ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then when we arrive, we'll have gone on with the Lord to die and go on with the Lord, and see that he's raised people from the dead.
Amen.
Amen.
Just the opposite. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday, everybody was so happy because it really was a present. I know that. I wasn't part of it. Like you were saying, we could have gone on and on. Can't you say, well, those who want to go now can. If those who want to stay, stay. Because and Robert singing, and it was out of this world. But, you know, I can do it. You know, I can do that there for hours. It was so, and the hymns just spoke, you know.
Hmm.
everything.
He couldn't find. Yeah. Yeah. Just another thought to that, Julian. We've come into the house of the Lord. So we should expect him to be here.
Yeah.
We should expect him in our lives, of course, but when we come together and to support one another and to love one another, the Lord that is here, and we should expect him.
Yeah.
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 Mm. Yeah.
We feel that when we're here, so often the trouble. What I'm trying to say is, like Pastor said, if we go on for hours and hours, don't you think some of us could feel we want to go on for hours and hours because we're so happy to be in God's presence?
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
When you go home though, Louise, you don't go out of the Lord's presence, is what I'm saying.
No.
You know, the Lord, we're here together as a group and worshipping together, but when you go home, you take the Lord with you.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to sneak in the car.
My shall go with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, Louise. I remember another time in Bentley. I know you say, well, you're harping back to days gone by. Well, I am. But these were experiences that we didn't manufacture. And I remember we had a guy on keyboard, and he could play anything. He was brilliant. You know what I'm talking about. And he was a fantastic pianist. And he could take you into the presence, into heaven literally, into the presence of the Lord. But one thing about him, he didn't know when to stop. And so he'd take you in and he'd bring you out, if you let him. Right? And I watched this happen a few times, and I asked him to sort of come and do the worship in the youth for us, you see. So I didn't have to play guitar. And so I would let him take us into the presence of the Lord. And then when we got to that place where I felt, this is it, we've arrived, I'd just give him the nod. That's it. You know, all I'd do, I'd look at him and I'd just go, that's it. And he would finish with that. And then I'd get up and preach. And I remember one night in particular, I set off at 8 o'clock. And at 11:30 at night, I was kicking the young people out of church. And I'd stopped twice, if not three times, and said, I think you need to go home. And they just said, no, we're not ready. We want more. And I carried on until 11:30, and I thought, I'm going to have parents coming around in a bit, asking where the kids are. And we actually kicked them out of church at 11:30. Does that happen today?
Yeah.
You know, they were in absolutely, they were just like, it was like, birds on perches being fed. Mm. They were just hungering and thirsty. Yeah. And I'm not boasting about my preaching, right? It was the Spirit of God was moving, and there was such a hungering, these young people, for more of God, because we'd entered into that presence. And these are the things that, even with musicians, we have to watch, that we don't go take people in and bring people out and then say, oh, that was great, wasn't it? You know, we've got to come to that place and know with it and let the Spirit of God move. It is, well, part of it is a learning thing. I learned that this guy could lead us in worship, he could take us into the presence of God, and then he'd bring us out, because there was a little bit of ego, right? And it didn't just come from him, it came from his wife as well. She used to egg him on, you see, and she used to say, oh, he's a fabulous pianist, he's always been out, you know, she used to level at it, my husband, and so I just realised what was happening. He didn't recognise it, because he was caught up in his keyboard, you see, and those are the things that we've got to realise. We don't get caught up just in what we're doing, but we have to be listening to the Spirit at the same time, and that comes with a bit of learning, you know. It don't just happen like that.
No.
Some of us are have that ability to recognise it quickly, but it doesn't always come like that. So you have to realise that sometimes the musicians have to learn where to stop, and it might be stop for a period and just even let the congregation bring their worship. Now, for instance, our bishop friend used to tell us of, he told us of a meeting, a number of times this happened, but in one particular meeting, he says he went to this church, he was a visiting speaker, and three or four people came into the meeting and sat in different places. And during the time in the church as they were singing the hymns and whatever they were doing, there came a quiet point. And then one of these people began to sing. And then another one joined in. And then another one joined in. And it just brought in a tremendous presence of God. And then he got up to preach, and there were miracles happening in that service. So then afterwards, he thought, I need to have a word with them people. You know, they're just the way they sang. Well, when he looked for them, they weren't there. So he said to the pastor, he says, oh, who was that man that was sat over there? And that man and that woman that was sat over there? I don't know, I've never seen them before. Exactly. But, can you see where things can go? You see, our minds limit us. God tells us, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways, says the Lord. Right? Don't, you know, let's try and get out of this limitation that we stick on God. Because I tell you what, when you fall, he'll catch you. When you fall, he'll catch you. Because as Grace says, he sees your heart. He's looking at your heart and he sees you're doing it. What you're doing is you're doing it out of a real passion, a real purpose and a real plan to see God's kingdom come. And in that, there'll be the occasional mistakes. Hopefully, you know, we'll not get into some of the big ones in America. The Americans are emotional anyway.
I think it will more.
Yeah, well, there's an issue there that was deeper than a lot of people knew about. But I said, when we went, it was like, I mean, we took a friend of ours with us to Brownsville, and he was like, wow, isn't this amazing? It's fantastic. Now, the place was packed out. We were stood at the back, weren't we? And I'm stood there, like, I'm thinking, well, Grace and I, saw more than this. We experienced more of the presence of God than what we're even seeing now. And he's over the moon with it. He thinks it's absolutely amazing. And I'm thinking, I saw this 30 years ago. You know, they're only just catching up with us. And I'm thinking, and they weren't even at the same level, I don't believe. But there was all this hype through the media. I don't want media hype. I mean, I was asked a couple of times to go on TV and I refused. I'm not really into it. And at times I don't even enjoy doing the video work that we put up, you know, but I put up with that because I now realise that there are people who are getting something, and so I put up with that. But it's not to be famous. I don't want to be in that case. I've turned it down so many times that I'm not interested in that. I don't want that. What I want is to see people stepping up into the presence of God and moving on and being able to sit there and say, yeah, I'm a part of that. I'm a part of that. You know, just look what the Lord's doing. And he allowed me to be part of it. He allowed me to play a part in what he's doing, because I can't do it.
No, I can't.
You know, I went to Methodist Sunday school, and you know, do you remember them used to have us where we go to Methodist Sunday school and they used to have a presentation day, didn't they? You know, you get your prize for attending so many, and you'd have to recite a poem or do this, that, and other, and they'd give me a poem or something to remember or verses of scripture to quote. You know, not reading it. I hated that. I was terrified. I was afraid. And, you know, and if you, even as a teenager, my sister told me, I'm the last person to want to stand in front of a crowd. I always used to say, I'm right behind you. I'll be your number two. I'll stand behind you. I'll support you. I'm there for you. And then God's saying, I've just removed number one. And I'm like, why? Because I need you stood where I want you to stand. And so I'll have to stand there. I'm going to still stand there until God calls time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think we need to get to, that we say, I'm going to stand here, I'm going to do till God calls time.
Mm-hmm.
When God calls time, then it's time.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, I've got to be doing what I'm doing. Like I said the other day, you know, I see people who got to similar to my sort of age, and the next thing they grow cold for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've done my bit, you know, it's up to humans now. This one, that's right, you know, it's come on. Until you breathe your last physical breath, that's not your end on earth. And then when we breathe our last breath on earth, we then breathe our spiritual breath and commence again anew into the fullness and the presence of the Holy God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
It
all happens differently.
No, we are hammering them.
When you've got that prophecy about young people going to be really, you know, do you know what I mean? I thought maybe we're all meant to be young people. We're all just near the same age and we are young for God.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We'll go with that, John. We'll check.